Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Chapter 2, Section 1, Mantra 20. Satha sa yatha una navis tantuna uchcharet yatha agneh shudra bishpulinga vicharanti, and so forth. Just as a spider comes out through the subtle threads, or like the sparks proceeding from fire, likewise, from the Atma, the Self, there arise pranas, vital forces, lokas, states of experience, physical experience, subtle mental experience, deeper intellectual experience, there are lokas. And from that Atma comes forth gods, souls that are advanced, as well as all souls, all beings, conscious and inert matter, all come from the Atma, the Self. How does it come? Allegorical, just like from the spider comes a whole web flowing out of its tongue. I haven't seen the tongue, but somehow it does. And the spider has the ability to suck it up as well as spit it out. And a spider has also a strange situation, trapped in its own web, and struggle and die. You have to watch the website, old website, in your rooms. In the same way, from the Self, like a spider's web, illusion develops, and you get caught into that web. Simple illustration, you are going to sleep. Everything is moved away from you, you are yourself, but then the Atma within you has spit out the dream world. And having ejected the dream world, it has become trapped in it. You find yourself experiencing a world where you are a subject, you are the dream subject, not knowing who you are, but you are a subject. You have a dream world, and you are experiencing pleasure, pain. You are dealing with that world with the concept of time, space, causation, a world that appears to you to have no beginning, no end. And all that ejected from your consciousness within a moment. One fluff of the spider. You wake up, the spider has sucked it in. If you understand that, same applies to the waking world. The waking world is not much different from the dream experience. The process of experiencing is just the same. Yourself is experiencing the world based upon impressions of the unconscious, your subtle desires. You are not experiencing the reality, but you are caught in an illusion where you do not know who you are. Yet evidently plain. Physically you are not so comfortable to go to the doctor. Ah, can you tell me who am I? Am I healthy? Mentally become confused. Go to a psychiatrist. Tell me who am I? I'll give you money for it. Then mystically and spiritually, the question is, who am I? So all this illusion emanates from the real I am, sustained by the real I am. Into that, all the illusion dissolves. Just like the web proceeds from the spider and creates a drama about it. And web is sucked into the spider. And the spider alone is, so is the Atma. And like that web, all things of this world, all the lokas, multiplicity of things, that Atma is truth of truth, implying the absolute truth. Whenever we think of truth, there are many relative realities. You see snake on the rope, snake is not real, the rope is the truth. But that again, rope is not the absolute truth. All objects of the world that appear real because they can be touched, they can be felt, etc. From a profounder point of view, they are not real. Because your very senses are defective. Your eyes don't have perfect vision. They could be always altered. You could have little more of lens effect in your eyes. And you could be seeing different things. You could have eyes of a peacock, not like peacock, an owl, a vulture. And you'll be seeing different things. Your senses can be altered. Human senses are not the absolute. So everyone is experiencing the world, which is a world of Maya. Not exactly what the world is. Therefore, when we talk of reality, reality is a relative matter. But real of the reality, the truth of the truth, that's the Atman, the Self, the Absolute. That Absolute is one, non-dual, beyond time, space, causation. That is Brahman, that is the God. And that alone exists. You may go through the entire dream, and everything there may seem very real, but when you wake up, you realize nothing existed. In the same way, in daily life, you go through turmoil, immense situations, circumstances pertaining to yourself, pertaining to the world. You face an immense world, and yet to move beyond your mind to an intuitional level, there is nothing but the Absolute Self. And that is the truth. Satyameva jayate. That truth triumphs over all. But that absolute truth is like the sun. And all these creations are illuminations of the sun coming into the earth atmosphere. Put it in a simpler way. All this experience of the world is like darkness, different layers of darkness. And when the sun shines, all layers of illusions break down fast. So we can say, light conquers darkness. Lead me from darkness to light. Now, the Upanishad talks about head, mysticism of human head. I'm heading on to it. Chapter 2, section 2, and mantra number 3. There is a bowl, referring to the head, with its mouth below, bottom up. This contains the glory of manifold types. Tasmin yasho nihitam vishwarupam. Tasya sata rishaya saptatire vayashtami brahmana samvidaneti. This contains the glory of manifold types. 7 sages, seers, sit on the rim. This outer structure is the rim. The whole head is your pot, upside down. With his speech at the 8th. See, just count them. 2 ears, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 6. And 1 opening of the mouth, 7. But then speech comes out, that's 8. This ball has mouth below and head is the bottom up. This bowl contains yasha, glory of manifold types. Therefore, in Hindu tradition, the superiors or good well-wishers touch the head. Yashasvi bhava, the term yasha, glory of manifold types. Your head has the potentiality to gain all that good. Therefore, blessings are given on the head. In it lies the yasha of the world. Yasha is the fame, glory, not empty type of fame, but something really admirable. The living being is the Vishwarup yasha, the soul that operates through the head. That soul is God, essential, having the potentiality of universal fame. Thus the mantra relating to the Atman, the term is used here as prana, life, but life not in the ordinary context, life of life, prana of prana. When we use only one life, it relates to vital forces. When it's a life of life, it relates to pure consciousness, Atma, Brahman. Imaveva Gautam Bharadvajau Ayameva Gautamoyam Bharadvajah Imaveda Vishwamitra Jagadagani and so forth. Seven rishis live on the trim. These 2 ears are Gautama and Bharadvaja. 2 great sages are sitting on your ears. Gautama and Bharadvaja. Now, in order to understand the beauty of it, turn your attention to the scriptural stories where Gautam Rishi is husband of a great personality, Ahalya. And Gautam puts Ahalya to trial. Ahalya is faith. Faith wedded to divine potentiality of your soul. And it is by listening you awaken that faith that has become like a stone. And Gautam Muni is related to that story. Simply it implies listening allows you to awaken the faith that is dormant, inactive. That faith is awakened. And when faith is awakened, there's an unimaginable result out of it. Faith moves mountains. So one ear is Gautama. Another is Bharadvaja. Bharadvaja has his own story. His father is Brihaspati, guru of gods, and his mother is known as Mamata. Bharadvaja comes in a storyline. He is born in a very heavenly atmosphere, but he outgrows his parents, and parents are unable to handle him. The word Bharadvaja literally means, who will handle him? Bharadvajam imam. Implying Bharadvaja relates to that special quality that enters your mind, that brings about an insight. That insight is neither like the father nor the mother. You don't know who will handle that insight. It's an allegorical way of saying something profound, something unique. not mundane, supra-mundane. And his storyline, Bharadwaj is always interested in listening to the glory of God. The whole Tulsi Ramayana begins, Yajnavalkya, Bharadwaja come together, and Bharadwaja asks, please tell me the story of Ram. So that Gautam Rishi and Bharadwaja, they are the ears, implying the channels, ear channels are there for awakening the faith, sleeping faith within you, and awakening the insight that will turn into knowledge, jnana, shravana shakti, nothing more powerful than ability to listen. And for listening, God has given you these 2 ears. So be careful in scratching your ears. I'm joking. Rather, you should be cleaning your ears from a practical point of view. From a spiritual point of view, clean your ears. Things that you have listened to that are just rubbish. Don't hold on to your mind. Allow your ears to hear good things, enlightening things. Next we come to the eyes. Vishwamitra and Jamadagni, 2 sages abide in your eyes. Vishwamitra is here, Jamadagni is here. Now Vishwamitra, the whole story in the storyline, he is a sage who began his existence as a great ruler, Kshatriya king. And to his mind, that was the greatest thing anyone could attain. But when he met Vasishtha, he became completely humbled. And for a long time, he wanted to revenge on Vasishtha. That story I'm not telling you now, but the vast, big, big stories. Until Vishwamitra recognizes the glory of Vasishtha and becomes exceedingly humble. So, through that Vishwamitra personality, you are being given the idea. The eyes give you angle of vision. Vishwamitra's vision was Kshatriya type, too conceited, and that vision changed. Likewise, your eyes are meant change the angle of your vision, not physical vision, your understanding. Understanding is a real vision. It's a matter of angle of understanding that can make your life joyous or miserable. Just a change of angle. And Vishwamitra is that example. Another person, Jamadagni. He is a sage whose son was Parashuram. Parashuram went on destroying Rajasic Kshatriyas. He is a type of force that cuts down distractions. Rajas creates distractions in mind. But he cuts them down in a very crude manner. Jamadagni is that, in other words, if your vision is being corrected, spiritual vision, you will have a transformation like Vishwamitra had. And you will be able to cut down your abrupt vasanas that give you a lot of anger and hate. And so your eyes become a channel. The manner in which you look at things is something profound. Your eyes are not just simple looking at things, but there is something else that looks through your eyes. You can look through your eyes with great love and affection. Look through your eyes with great suspicion. You look through your eyes with great bitterness. All this can't be given to you in chemistry and in physiology. But the manner in which you look, that is important, that impacts upon your mind, that nourish, that brings to your mind a kind of food that can be hurtful or it can be elevating, nourishing. All these channels are nourishing your mind. Ahar shuddhav sattva shuddhi. If these foods are pure, the mind becomes purified. But your head is the resource of sucking all these foods. Understand its allegorical importance. Now, coming to nostrils, nose plays a great part. All animal kingdom, including human being, it's a common knowledge. People are suspicious, they put their finger on the nose. If something is well. Two nostrils are presided by Vasishtha and Kashyapa. Sage Vasishtha gives you the fragrance of wisdom. So one nose is being trained for recognizing the highest truth, where it is. Come to be drawn to satsanga, not because there is incense burning, but there is divine fragrance there. Train your nose to go after that fragrance, the fragrance of wisdom, represented by Vasishtha. Vasishtha type wisdom is the highest. And then another type of wisdom, Kashyapa. Kashyapa is a great rishi who was wedded to Diti and Aditi, two wives. Diti is spirit of duality. Aditi is spirit of non-duality. Through Diti, duality, lots of multiplicity of things, rajasic, tamasic, even demons, etc., arose. Through Aditi, saintly personality. Kashyapa is the source. Put it in a very simple way. If you are studying scriptures, you are developing a mystic nose. Nose for understanding your goal. Just like the bee gets the nose to go after the real nectar. And you develop the similar mystical inclination. And another type of nose that understands in practical world there is two types of happiness. One type of happiness is inspiring. Another type gives you just illusions called degrading bhog, vishaya bhog, becoming so involved with enjoyments of the senses that you degrade yourself. Now, having developed qualitative nostril, you go on developing this a discriminative way of acting with the world. Avoid that which degrades you. Go after that which elevates you. Your nose will give you the guidance. And the other nose is giving you the guidance to the highest. So thus, we have Vasishtha and Kashyapa on your nose. Now, coming to the speech, the Atri Rishi, sage Atri is the deity of your speech. He abides. Atri, in storyline, is the husband of a great divine personality, Anasuya. Anasuya, who became the mother of all the three deity gods, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. All of them incarnated through her in the form of Dattatreya. That power, Anasuya literally means freedom, being free of jealousy. So Atri is married to that type of mental attitude where there is no jealousy. You do not look at the world and there is no room for jealousy. You are looking at yourself. You are not jealous of your fingers because they are better than your nose. Jealousy has no place. Whole world is your own self. If that develops, that attitude develops, your soul discovers a three state. Three refers to triad. Seer, seen and sight. Or the triad is effaced. When you go to sleep, there is no triad. When you are enlightened, there is absolute consciousness that does not split up into seer, seen, sight. And that spirit that leads you on to that level is Atri Rishi. And he is the deity of speech. Therefore, speech plays a tremendous role in spiritual sadhana. You are listening to the speech. You will be practicing japa by your speech. You will be helping others by your speech. Speech communication is one of the most profound and effective communication with yourself and with the whole world. Let that speech be presided by Atri and Anasuya. You can imagine how much blessings have been put into these. Your head has become a whole scripture. Now, in the storyline, the sons of Atri and Anasuya are Dattatreya, the highest. Speech that is leading you on, speech that is in the form of Upanishads, leading you on to the highest. Another one is Durvasa. Durvasa, sage. His actual name has been Suvasa. Storyline is Durvasa puts the aspirants into challenging situations. When he puts it, he looks so bad. But when challenging situations pass on, people realize they have been, how much they have been blessed. Durvasa is that type of allegorical condition that comes into life, comes into the process of sadhana. Unexpected situations that baffle your mind, frustrate your expectations, and yet, because of your sadhana and your satsanga, you remain unmoved. Then Durvasa becomes pleased. And the third son is Soma, the deity of the full moon, from where nectar drips. Speech relates to three profound attainments. Sadvani, speech that brings truth, that's Durvasa. Amritavani, the speech that allows your good sentiments to flow, like nectar, nectarine rays of the moon. And Prajnavani, speech that gives you enlightenment. All the potentiality of all these speech is right in your mouth. Next time you see in a mirror, try to look at it. And with this, I will conclude. Om Shanti Shanti.